Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about our school districts here in the area with Superintendent of the Copper Country Intermediate School District, George Staccaro. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Really do appreciate you coming on. It's our first time that we've had a chance to sit down and talk about things that are going on in the Copper Country, so I do appreciate you taking the time out to do that. I, of course, was familiar with your predecessor, Dennis Harbor. We got to know each other fairly well, and glad to see he's enjoying himself now.
He's down south enjoying himself very much, I'm sure.
Now that you took over, I thought it was a good place for us to start with talking about what an ISD is, what an intermediate school district is, and what function they serve.
Well, there are 56 ISDs, not to confuse you more. Some are called RESAs, R-E-S-A, but we're all the same. An ISD serves anywhere from 1 to 3 counties in Michigan. And we're a service organization to help local schools provide things that a local school probably would struggle to provide themselves. And there are probably 4 main parts. One is the special education services, and we provide many classrooms for cognitively impaired and severely impaired. We provide many services like speech therapy, visual and hearing impairments, teacher consultants for autism, occupational therapy, all those types of services that it would be tough for a local school to provide themselves. So we have a very large staff that goes off to all our schools to help provide those services. A second big part of an ISD is the CTE, or Career Technical Education. We provide 3 main classes as of right now, which is our auto tech class, our nurse's aide, and our health careers. That is very different from ISD to ISD because some ISDs have a dedicated millage that helps pay for those classes. And not, about 2/3 of the ISDs in Michigan do. Unfortunately, the CCISD does not have a dedicated millage. So we do our best to provide as many classes as we can, and we must charge our local school districts a fee to help pay for those classes. Just on that one note quickly, though, is we were very fortunate last year to request a grant from Portage Health Foundation, and they gave us $50,000 to help pay for scholarships so our local students could provide more local students into our health careers and nurse aid programs, and it is the largest class that we've had in the last 4 or 5 years. So that's been a big benefit to us, and we're very appreciative for that.
Yeah, more and more, the Portage Health Foundation, we just keep hearing all the things that they're doing and, yep, and helping out causes like this. Now, those classes, are they for adults?
These are for high school students, but we do help provide classes at night for adults also, but they pay for those classes.
Okay.
So our next big one is what I call general education and professional development for teachers. And we work very hard to provide new and innovative ideas to our teachers. I actually did a study, what have we done? In the last 3 years, we have averaged 60 different workshops. We've reached roughly over 1,000 different teachers a year, provided around 680 hours of professional development. We are very fortunate that we work very hard to go after grants. In the end, we spend approximately $170,000 a year to help provide new programs and professional development for all our teachers within our ISD.
Oh, that is amazing. What counties do you serve here?
We serve the Keweenaw, Houghton, and Berga counties.
Okay, so Ontonagon's on a different...
Ontonagon is in the Gogebic, Ontonagon, okay, ISD. So again, like I said, most are 2, some are 3 counties, and there's a few that are just 1 county. There are 7 ISDs in the UP, and we work very closely with each other.
Having been in this position that I've been in the last few years, one of the impressions that I had was that the ISD is part of a hierarchy that, all of the other schools basically work for the ISD, and that's totally not what you're talking about.
Actually, it's the opposite. We work for the local school districts. We're here to serve them. What are their needs? And we meet often with the superintendents, and I visit principals' roundtables, and I'm constantly listening. What can we do to help you make it easier?
Now, let's talk about yourself, your background, and what led you to be the superintendent of the ISD here.
I have been in education 26 years. I was a special education teacher for 16 years, started down in Iron County, moved to the Copper Country when my wife was hired at Michigan Tech. I taught in Hancock for 4 years, became the athletic director. Then I got my administrative degree, became a principal in Chassel for 5 years, then became their superintendent and principal for another 5 years. And a year and a half ago, I was hired as the ISD superintendent.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of all that, too. See, I learned so much by hosting this program. Yeah. So there's been a number of changes in superintendent positions in the Copper Country within the last year. Chassel, superintendent, moving to
Calumet.
Yep. Of course, the Calumet High School principal retiring. Yep. And now, of course, most recently with Kerry Meyer's situation in Lons, ending the Ishpeming. You're losing a great superintendent there.
I am. And Kerry's done an awesome job. I wish her well, but I'm told her I'm a little sad to see her leave because she's done a fantastic job in Lons.
She certainly has. Now, as a ISD superintendent, what sort of obstacles and issues are you facing right now in the school district?
Well, I think the biggest thing is always new laws and regulations and funding. I mean, the one thing with our local school districts, it's based on population. You know, where they're paid per child, and that's not always easy to predict how many students will be there on the first day of school. So we have overall a declining enrollment across the Copper Country, in fact, across the state of Michigan. So that does make it tough. And that's, again, where I think ISDs come in. How can we consolidate services? How can we help provide more services? One example of that is 3-4 years ago, the ISD started helping provide business services to schools. Now, it's there if they wish. But right now, we provide business services for roughly 5 school districts. So that makes it easier on them, more affordable, so that they do not have to hire their own business manager, and that we can help provide that for them.
What kind of services? What kind of business services do you offer?
Well, the business manager.
Okay.
Of the school. I mean, every school has a business manager that takes care of the day-to-day payroll, the bills, the budgeting, and, you know, from the states and like that. So, again, I would say 5 years ago, every school district had their own business manager. What we were able to do is hire very qualified people here at the ISD who can now help maybe handle 2 school districts at the same time or 3, and we can work together as a team so that we can actually provide that for less money than them hiring them one on their own.
Well, that definitely has to feel a sense of success for our schools, because even with declining enrollment and certainly less money coming for education from the state, I haven't been to a school in our area that acts poor. You know, I mean, the programs are top rate. These are award-winning schools. The students are getting an excellent education. You see them doing a lot with what they have.
Correct. You know, one interesting thing that I sometimes wonder if people think this exists everywhere in the state of Michigan, and it doesn't. The ISD actually was very proud to do some local public service announcements or commercials, you know, bragging about our local school districts, of all the awards that they've won, whether they've been voted one of the best high schools by World News and Report, or whether they've won state academic championships. And it's amazing what has happened in the Copper Country, and I hope people appreciate all the good things that are happening, because it's not necessarily true across the whole UP or the state of Michigan. It kind of sounds like everybody here is doing great, and so they think everybody is. Not necessarily. Like I said, what happens in the Copper Country at all the local schools is truly amazing, of all the awards they have won. Because if you went to another county and looked to see how many schools have won those awards that I've just mentioned, it may be 1 or 2. Up here, it's 7, 8, 9 of them that are winning those awards.
Yeah, there's 82 other counties in the state.
Correct.
And they're, you know, like as you said, there may be 1 or 2 awards, but here with so few school districts and a lot fewer students and smaller staffs, the what they're accomplishing is always quite amazing. How many times Calumet comes up on, you know, near the top of a list. Houghton the same way. Hancock doing very well. Dollar Bay, what the students are over there are able to accomplish. I spent a lot of time with the robotics team, Houghton's robotics team, you know, with what they did last year. So yeah, it is quite impressive, and I'm talking proudly because I have a student in Calumet schools as well. So, you know, I know firsthand from a parent the quality of education that the students are getting here, and coming from downstate where I put another child through school who did really well, but it was night and day coming up here as far as what was expected, and what the students themselves were able to kind of turn out. I remember a parent-teacher conference where the teacher told me they don't believe in homework at the school. You know, I thought, well, I do. Yeah. And homework makes things better. So it's that's my impression of what I see the accomplishment of the schools. From your end, what makes the area so successful?
Well, I think it comes from a good community, too. I think that we are very fortunate to live where we live. We have strong families who care very much about education, care about their schools, who support their schools. Going back to our, as we talk about funding and declining enrollment, well, what's helped a lot of schools up here is the local school foundations. We have many alumni who help support their local schools and provide money to their own local foundations. And, you know, I came from Chassel, and every year the school foundation, people who have donated money, give back every year and are willing to help buy new computers and new programs and help the teachers with their struggles to provide to their students. So I think we have an outstanding community in the Copper Country who care very much about their education and are willing to give back. And I think another positive is how hard we work together. Again, the ISD provides these professional development. Well, what's nice is those classes are full. I'm getting teachers from every school district willing to come to learn new ideas and new techniques and collaborate with each other. And that's very exciting to see, where one teacher says, I tried this, this is really cool. And another teacher will latch onto it and say, okay, I'm gonna go try that also. So the sharing of ideas is an awesome thing to see.
Talking right now with George Staccaro. He is the superintendent of the Copper Country Intermediate School District. Now, George, there's a number of things going on in Lansing that they're discussing that could affect how education is done. One of those, of course, being the third grade reading bill. We've heard a number of things about it from the politicians that are in Lansing as they discuss it. This is a great opportunity to talk with somebody with your background in education and as administrator now. How do you guys foresee in the school district here, the intermediate school district, how this would affect?
This is tricky because the idea behind third grade reading bill is we don't want students obviously going on through school who cannot read. So the intent is a very noble intent. So I will talk about some of the very positive things. You know, they are talking about we would like to see more money spent on interventions. How can we help our young students? And we are learning more and more about new research-based ideas that are strong, get in there and work with our youngest kids, our kindergarten, first, and second graders. And we want to do a lot of those new techniques and spend money on that. So one positive thing on there is the state is going to put some money into interventions, and they are looking at providing money to ISDs to provide a literacy coach. Now, I will tell you, unfortunately, how much money they're going to give us will not pay for that literacy coach. But, looking at our ISD, we will find the money to completely fund a literacy coach. So we're looking towards that, you know, that future, and hopefully have something in place by the middle of this year. So we envision a literacy coach being able to go help all our local schools with our youngest readers. I would say the negative of this bill, if it stands the way it is, and right now it has passed the House and it's going to the Senate, is the retention piece. And though they have softened it and have come up for ways to find ways to get to put your child to the fourth grade, it still exists that, as it stands, the possibility that you take the state test and you are one full grade behind, you will not be allowed to go to fourth grade. And I believe for the most of us, that makes us nervous. There are things like, for one test, state test, and to me is too much to be put on one test. What if the child may be below in reading but is doing very well in math and science and social studies? So does that mean he has to stay back in third grade just for reading, but he's allowed to go to fourth grade for math and science? So there's complications with that. So how this all plays out, it's still too early to tell. But those, so the good part is, yes, we know we need to deal with our third graders and help them out interventions. The negative is that retention piece.
When I see legislation like this being bantered about, similar to a couple of years ago when it was the bullying legislation, I always wonder, well, what have we been doing up to this point? You know, in the case of the bullying, you know, so bullies run free in our schools? No, you know, I've talked to our superintendents in our school district, and our schools, most, you know, at least the ones I talked to, had rules against bullying. So in this particular case, when it comes to third grade reading, so without this bill, are Copper Country schools just shuffling kids who can't read right up the system? I don't believe that's happening here.
True. We're not. And we have many things in place to help those students and continue to work with those students. We have our own intervention programs. We have new programs to help give them more services, more reading time. So, again, we're looking for the intervention piece. We want to have more ideas, more funds to help create more opportunities to help that student. So I believe that our schools are doing very well. It does, like I said, does there is a little fear that being told that your student cannot go on, it scares us.
If the bill becomes law, what happens to the parents' portion of this, and as far as their choice and how they want to work with their child? It seems like their end gets minimized a little bit.
Well, and that's where the issue is that a parent, to me, knows best working with the schools for that child. And that's why, again, the bill has been softened a little bit and have provided some ways around that test that you can show competency. And so there may be ways to move that child. I guess it's too early to tell because they're still working on the bill.
All right, well, definitely keep an eye on that and bring the developments as they come about. So let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. One of the things I've had recently the chance to do was to visit Stanton Township, talk to their principal and superintendent there as well.
Mr. Rodiola.
Rodiola, thank you. You know, they have a big bond proposal coming
Correct.
Up.
Yep.
If you're prepared to talk about that, that's fine. But really what I wanted to kind of bring up was he was talking about technology in the school. And I definitely see that everywhere, that the use of technology in education is continually growing, and it seems to be utilized pretty well here.
Well, that's one, if we go back to what an ISD is, one other part that we didn't discuss is what we call our REMC part, which is the Regional Educational Multimedia Consortium. It has to do with technology and how we can help our local schools. Right now, the majority of schools get their internet through us. They get their technology support through us. We have many hands-on techies who go into the local schools and help keep their things running for them. So one big thing that came out of this also is, and that the Copper Country ISD was very involved in, was a thing called Trig Grant. And it was a statewide initiative. One of the main initiatives was to be able to buy computers and get rebates. And we were one of the main ISDs involved with that. And many of my crew of gentlemen went downstate, looked at all the different types of computers, worked on creating a bid process where our local schools could get computers at a much reduced rate. And we have saved huge amounts of money for all our local school districts. And what happens is the state for a while provided money to give rebates. And so every time you bought a computer, you could get anywhere from $50 to $100 back as a rebate. But now those are starting to go away. But the process, because of this, we've created great competition with the computer industry. And so we are, what a computer costs today versus what a computer cost us, you know, 10 years ago, we are able to keep technology fresh for our local schools.
Well, and what you're teaching has also changing as well. I don't remember being able to learn robotics or hands-on engineering when I was in high school. Yet my daughter, as a student, and other students here at Houghton Hancock and various other schools are learning, through science and engineering programs. stuff preparing them for, you know, to get a degree that's going to matter later on.
Correct. And a lot of schools are going to like the one-on-one initiatives where every child may have an iPad for them or a Chromebook. Not every school does that, but I would believe that every local school has enough technology, whether it's two or three computer labs and some on rolling carts, where the kids have that in their hands at some part during the day, every day. Again, with the ISD, we help provide professional development for new programs, and there's one thing called 21 New Things for Teachers. So we're constantly trying to help our teachers learn what is that new technology that's coming out and how can you use it to help educate your child. Some of the other new technologies, we've heard of things called the smart board, which is, you know, chalkboards don't exist hardly anymore. You go into a classroom, you have a smart board, which is like a computer on, you know, where the chalkboard used to be, and kids can actually go up and interact and touch things and move things and write things, and you can show them, you know, video clips, and it's amazing how interactive school can be now.
Technology for me when I was in high school is we had a television on a cart, you know,
and gone are those days.
Let's talk about the different things that are going on, particular school districts that they deserve to be touted a little bit. Give me an example. And, you know, I mentioned about Houghton's robotics team, I know they went to state and almost went to nationals last year.
I don't remember. I know
that they're doing some pretty neat things.
One thing in the Dollar Bay that had their robotics that got to be part of the National Park Association. They had their robotics mm-hmm. go to Isle Royal and do underwater things. Yeah. They were recognized nationally, I know. Again, I'll go back to, you know, to be rated as a top high school in the state in the United States. I don't know the exact numbers, but I remember doing this a couple years ago and looking, and it said like 13 of them in the UP made it. Of the 13, 7 of them were for the Copper Country. So that's the part I'm trying to get across, is how great the Copper Country is. We had the Academic State Championships here, and many schools qualified for that. And that was kind of a nice idea for the state of Michigan. You know, we want to celebrate our sports championships, but let's do one for academics too. And many of our local schools received those. So it's everybody in this community can be very proud of the things that happen here.
The ROTC program up in Calumet, they've done some wonderful things. They got amazing Raiders, their physical team, and then their JLab, which is testing. They're continuing to do really good. I'm plugging that one. My daughter's in that too. So, that's coming. And you may, it's possible maybe you're looking at another state championship out of Lake Linden Hubble, you know, with their football program.
Correct.
This year.
I guess one of the new things that's happening up here is the early college, which is more and more schools are being involved with that, where we have students who are able to start as juniors taking college classes, high school classes together. And the way that works is a student could take college classes, high school classes during the junior and senior year, and then come back to what they call a fifth year. And at the end of that, they will walk away with an associate's degree. So we now have multiple schools in the Copper Country who are participating with that through GoGebic. Mm-hmm. The other thing is with Michigan Tech has been awesome, and Finlandia, offering dual enrollment and making it easy for our students to take part in that. And I'll use that as my son. Again, was if you want... here's a chance to brag about my son. My son now is a freshman at Michigan Tech, but when he was in high school his senior year, he was able to get 12 college credits through Tech because it was available to him, and he was so well prepared in high school that during his senior year, he could dual enroll in Michigan Tech.
Is that something you keep track of as far as in our area, how many of our local students end up going to college?
We do. And to be honest, I would say that's the one thing, and I don't want to take this the wrong way, I'm a little disappointed in. I think we have some very, very bright kids who sometimes don't go to college because maybe the affordability. And so that is something I think we need to work on more. And maybe this early college is a one way to help our local students. I know our students who go are very successful. I would say the one thing that I would like to see more is more students actually go to college. Mm-hmm. I've unfortunately have seen some of my former students who I think are absolutely brilliant and have great potential who, for one reason or another, were not able to go to college.
Well, there are definitely some programs in the works that are happening now that make that possible. You mentioned the college credit. There's also a five-year plan.
Correct.
I'm aware of that. Back in five-year plan for me back in high school was we were going to school one more year. You shouldn't be going. But now it's helping prepare students for going to college. All these things that are wonderful are going on and other things that we will definitely need to address at another time when we are unfortunately out of time, but I want to appreciate you, say I appreciate you coming in and spending that time today.
I thank you very much, and we should all be very proud of what our kids are doing here in the Copper Country.
Absolutely. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.